Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day and glad you can be part of mine. Wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, thanks for joining us. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's the short one. That's the acronym for Jim Blasingame Small Business Advocate. Or break that down into two different ones, jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Whatever it takes to help you remember how to get to my website, which, as you know, I think is Small Business Nirvana. And so check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget the articles and the archives and the motivational minute that is there on every page. You can click on it. No matter what page you're on, you can find that motivational minute. If you feel like you need a little emotional and inspirational shot in the arm, I think you'll find it there. And you can subscribe to my free newsletter. Lots of good stuff there, including a lot of information about and a lot of archives about and with our good friend Rick Maurer, who's with us right now. Rick is the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance and one of my favorite books, but especially my favorite title, Why Don't You Want What I Want? Rick Maurer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. I still love that title. I go around saying that to people all the time. When people just won't quite do what I want to do, I say, wait a minute, why don't you want what I want?
Yeah, throw the book at them. That seems
What I'm going to do. I'm going to start throwing the book at them. Folks, Rick is the guy who helps us understand change. And you know, Rick, earlier in the previous hour, I did a little soliloquy. The first half hour was me and my audience, and me talking about how the information age has changed. And I brought up a couple of examples. I talked about two events that happened that were significant changes. One was the attacks on New York and how that changed the way hundreds of thousands of employees worked and with their companies. That the fact that they were displaced, the lower Manhattan, hundreds of thousands of workers were displaced. They went home to work, and when their new offices were ready, many of them didn't want to come back. And they were able to prove to their bosses that, why do I need to be there? We've been doing this for 6 months just fine with my laptop and the internet. And so that event was a change that was forced on people. And even though it was a horrible event, the result turned out to be something people liked. And yeah. some of the result, if you see what I mean.
Right, I do.
That's one example. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that, and then I'll bring up the other example in a minute.
Okay, well... I mean, yeah, I mean, sometimes something big will happen, and it can either be a catastrophe or something dramatic has happened in the marketplace that just forces a change, and then after that change, you go, whoa, look what we're doing now that we hadn't thought about before, and we look at the possibilities, and I believe that happens. The other side of that is that I think too often leaders kind of take that mentality and say, well, once I put this in motion, once I inflict this change, people are going to see what a good idea it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger.
Right.
Because it's one thing for all of us to wake up and see the catastrophe of 9/11 and adapt to it, because we all saw it. It's another for somebody to say, hey, we need to do this or that, because if they aren't on board with you, they're going to put more effort into resisting you than they are into making this a success.
That's one of the things that you really do well, Rick, and that I know you make your living helping companies understand, is the importance of getting the involvement and the acceptance of the stakeholders in an organization in any change. The example that I gave was events driven. I mean that was forced on everybody. And folks were able to, the folks there were able to make lemonade out of those lemons, and they probably, there are thousands of teleworkers now that wouldn't be teleworking right now if it hadn't been for the attacks. But if, as you say, if that had happened another way, if all those managers had said, "I want you to start working from home," and hadn't handled it properly,
yes,
it wouldn't have worked, would it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And the circumstances are so wildly different, and sometimes we don't take into account how different the circumstances are. I mean, I know of one organization that does security work, and the leader put some changes in place. He announced them on September 12th of 2001, and people just did them. And I said, what if he had introduced the same idea on September 10th?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we wouldn't have followed it.
Exactly. Stand by, Rick. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to mention my other event that I talked about earlier in the previous hour and get Rick's thoughts on that, too. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate, Rick Maurer, is our guest. That's M-A-U-R-E-R. And he is the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance. We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me tell you about our show coming up straight ahead. We got Andre Carter is going to join us and talk to us about our journey of intellectual property. Russell Brown is going to join us. We're going to talk about buying and selling a business. And then we got a couple other folks. I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. And lots of good folks all the rest of the week. And I'm looking forward to introducing you and reintroducing you to some of those folks. Rick Maurer is our guest right now. He's the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want? Rick is one of the guys who helps us manage and embrace and succeed in the face of change and as we experience change in our organization. But he does one more thing that really is important. He helps us do all that without creating a casualty list. And Rick, we appreciate that. I was talking about the second event that I wanted to mention that I talked about earlier in the hour and get your thoughts on.
Yeah.
And this is the move that Boeing made from Seattle. Do you remember about 3 or 4 years ago, Boeing made a big national, actually kind of a media event about you know, were they going to go to New York? Was it going to be
right.
Houston? Was it going to be Chicago or whatever? They chose Chicago. Now, here's my question. Was there anything wrong with Seattle? No, there wasn't anything wrong with Seattle. They'd been in Seattle almost 100 years. Why did they need to move to Chicago? Was there anything in particularly strategic about Chicago? No. The reason Boeing moved to Chicago, or the reason Boeing moved out of Seattle, was to distance themselves, but to begin the process of distancing themselves from the old Boeing, which was building airlines, to the new Boeing, which is building aerospace and technology.
Hmm.
That's the reason they moved. Now, that's not why, what's his name, the chairman, that's not what he said. But when you understand what's going on in the change in Boeing, you can see that that's clearly what they're doing.
Huh.
And so think about that. Think about that kind of change. Talk about having to get buy-in from your people
right.
to move Boeing from Seattle to Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, that's a huge one. And buy-in is really critical because you can announce it. You can find the real estate. You can make it happen. The problem is you may lose some really talented players. And I've seen companies do exactly that. And in the process, some of the people that really made their company decided they didn't want to move across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they liked Seattle or they liked, you know, wherever they were living. And since so much of Boeing and a lot of companies is the intellectual property that they have,
right?
It's a real risk unless you get the buy-in first.
But the thing about it, and this to me is, and I, you know me, I tend to come back to the mechanics of things. The thing is that 20 years ago, it was either move, you know, either our way or the highway. You either move or you're out of here. You don't, you know, if you don't come with us, you know, you go do something else. But
right.
in the 21st century, we have more options now to affect this change, don't we?
We do. I mean, there certainly are dips. Like in 2002, when the economy was bad, you could see leaders saying making more executive fiat decisions and people kind of going along because the job prospects weren't that good. But things are starting to turn the corner again. And, yeah, you keep You just can't work that way.
Well, I talk to people who are running companies, and they're not in the offices or the headquarters. Even the top people are not living. They're not showing up every day to work in the offices of the headquarters of the company.
Yeah.
That's happening right now. And all I'm getting at is that there are, not only do leaders, as you point out, do the leaders have to get the buy-in from the folks, but I think the folks are starting to say, wait a minute, there's another way to slice this cake here.
Yeah.
And if the leaders aren't prepared to listen to what the other people are saying, you know, see, you're saying, when you talk about buy-in, Rick, you're saying to get the people to behave the way you want them to behave, these are the things you need to do, and I agree with that. But in the 21st century, we also have to be prepared to realize that maybe they got a better idea.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think about in terms of buy-in when I'm working with clients is, you know, what level of buy-in do you need? And I'll use the jargon of stakeholders. Some of your listeners may not use that word, but anybody who needs to go along with it. And I think there are three possible levels. In fact, your listeners might even, you know, jot the names of stakeholders down right now, and they're thinking about some change. And there's... And if you say, okay, let's say Mary, and Mary's the head of finance in your company, and you say, all right, so what do I need from her on this change? And one is maybe I need her to be a champion, which means Mary's got to go out and be a leader on this. She's on her own. She's going to look for ways to make it a success. So maybe I need that from her. Maybe I need her to be a supporter, which means if I come to Mary and say, hey, I'd appreciate if you could drop everything this afternoon and get out to that customer site and do blah, 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 blah. She'd say, yeah, give me a few minutes, I'll make it happen. That she's great, she'll do whatever you ask, but she's not looking for opportunities. And the third level of buy-in is all you need from Mary is somebody who will go along with the decision. Hey, we're going to move. Okay, fine, I'll go along. And each of those is very different. And then what you need to say is, okay, that's what I, whichever one of those I need from Mary, what am I likely to get? So maybe I'm likely, you know, I want a champion, but am I likely to get a champion or am I likely to get something different? In fact, here's where resistance comes in. I could get a supporter, I could get somebody to go along, I could get somebody who grumbles, or I could get somebody who will actively oppose me.
Rick, would you hold that thought? Hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Mary. And this may be, this is probably an area of thinking about your people with regard to moving your company forward you hadn't thought about before. And only Rick Maurer helps us do that. Tim Till, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rick Maurer is our guest. Rick, give us your website, please.
Sure thing. It's www.beyondresistance.com.
Can we find out more about your books there? And you probably got some good articles there, too, don't you?
The books are there, or at least how to order the books, and there's a lot of free articles and assessment tools that your listeners could use.
BeyondResistance.com. I hope you'll check that out today, folks. And also, don't forget, we've got quite a library of information on our website under Rick's name in our brain trust if you want to go and listen to some other interviews, some other visits that Rick and I have had. Rick, I interrupted you to go to a break. Can you pick back up where you were? Do you remember?
Yes, we were talking about Mary, the head of finance, and we need her for whatever change we're about to try to implement. We need her we need her buy-in. So we need to say, so what level do we need? Do we need her to be a champion, a supporter to go along? And once we've identified that, then we need to say, what's she likely to do? Is she likely to be a champion, a supporter? Is she likely to go along? Or is she likely to grumble, to complain, sort of like static on the AM radio dial?
There's no static on AM, Rick.
Well, I understand that, yeah. But in the old days. And, you know, and you can still hear the signal, you can still hear the song, but it's just, you know, meetings take a little bit longer, you know. Or is she likely to out and out oppose you?
Right.
Then what I work with clients on is, what's the mismatch? If I need her to be a champion and she's likely to grumble or she's likely to oppose me, I better work on that relationship. I got to figure out why. you know, what's the difference between what I see and what she sees, and what's it going to take to bring her around? Because if I need Mary to be a champion, my project, my idea is going to fail unless she's a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes just looking at what's the gap between what I need and what I've got from these various stakeholders.
Should we actually take a piece of paper and write this down? Just Mary at the top, and on the left side, write down what we need her to do. On the right side, write down the different things that she might react, how she might react.
Well,
and then pick out the likely one and sort of draw a line between what we need her to do and what she's likely to do. And along that line, figure out, you know, what do we got to do? Let me write down the things I got to do to make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I do with clients. I'll take a big sheet of paper and I'll say, all right, so who are the stakeholders? And down the left-hand column, I write those stakeholders. And, you know, it might be three people. It could be, I remember I was working with one project team in an aerospace company. They probably had 30 stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We wrote them all down. And I said, all right, so what do you need from each of these? And I gave them, I said 5, 4, 3, champion, supporter, go along. And we identified that. And I said, what are you likely to get? 5, 4, 3, 2, they're likely to grumble. 1, they're likely to outright oppose you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did that. And then I went back and said, all right, so what stands out? And then, you know, and often they'll go, wow, the people who really need to support us aren't supporting us. And then
we
go through and say, all right, so which of these are the most critical relationships? Where do you need to work right now? And when you see it in such a graphic form, it can be very helpful, and it takes no time at all.
And very powerful. It's something about your situation, looking back at you from a sheet of paper, that changes it, that lifts it off the page, so that it almost becomes three-dimensional. And you know, Rick, as you were talking about all that, I'm just remembering all the times in my career, maybe I was part of the problem, maybe I was observing it, when a situation, a project or whatever change was involved, where that failed, abject failure, because nobody stopped to think about how are the people going to react to this. And basically, you know, before they realized that Mary wasn't helping, she'd already contributed to the failure.
Yes. Yep.
By the time it was found out, the damage was done. The toothpaste was out of the tube, so to speak, and there was no putting it back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the kind of thing we're talking about right now is best done right when that idea is still a brainstorm in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving into your work and you're going, oh, this is a great idea. That's the time to start thinking, who needs to support me?
Right.
Because the more that idea rumbles around in my little brain, the more brilliant it sounds.
That's right.
and more that happens, the less I'm willing to be influenced.
And folks, here's famous last words. My people are going to love this. hey, Rick, we're going to have to go. Thank you for being here.
Hey, it was a pleasure, Jim.
Give us your website one more time.
Sure thing. BeyondResistance.com.
That's the title of one of his books, Beyond the Wall of Resistance. And the other one is, which is one of my favorite titles, Why Don't You Want What I Want? Rick, thanks for being here. See you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.